Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You don't think that it's time that somebody cared enough to have a dream?
Why are you getting so upset? This is not about you.
Yes, it is. You are a human affront to all women, and I am a woman.
At some point, you gotta decide for yourself who you are. Can't let nobody make that decision for you.
How do you go about getting an exorcism?
I beg your pardon?
Hi, this is Mark Kermode, and thanks for downloading this bonus episode of Kermode on Film. Obviously, this week's episode is MK3D, the live show that I do at the BFI South Bank, but since we're recording this the day after the Oscars, I got Jack Hauer back to do a post-mortem of last night's awards festivities. So you're listening to Kermit on Film. We're joined again by Jack Howard.
Hello
Jack,
there.
Welcome back to the podcast. It's like you live here now.
Yeah.
The last time you were on, we were talking about the BAFTAs, and we said that we would do a recording immediately after the Oscars, and we did our predictions for the Oscars. So the Oscars were last night. We're recording this on Monday. Shall we have a look through the runners and riders and see how well we got it? Okay, so this comes up in the order that they were done and thing. Best Supporting Actress, Regina King, If Beale Street Could Talk. I said that was going to happen, and it was the right choice.
Yeah, I think that is the right choice, and it started off well and didn't like start off the night the way we thought it was going to go. I thought it was going to be a positive evening, and it turned out to be a mostly negative one.
Oh, are you feeling stung?
I have a lot of things to say. I wish I didn't care about the Oscars as much as I do.
You know, like, that they're all foolish and nonsense.
And it
doesn't matter.
But it does, though. I think that we can tell ourselves that it doesn't matter, but it absolutely does. Because when the right award gets given out to the right person, we do care and we do celebrate it. And I think it does make a difference to people's careers and things like that. But I wish it didn't, because it's so frustrating.
Always remember, Citizen Kane didn't win the Oscar for Best Picture. Driving Miss Daisy did, and as I've said a million times,
2001 didn't.
Driving Miss Daisy was not only not the best film of the year, it wasn't even the best Morgan Freeman film of the year, it wasn't even the best Morgan Freeman film of the week, which was actually Glory. So, and when Crash won the Best Picture, it wasn't even the best picture called Crash to win Best Picture. So, okay, makeup and hair, Vice, we kind of knew it was going to happen.
Definitely,
because there is, whatever else is going on in Vice, there's a lot of makeup and hair. Documentary, Free Solo, again, I was slightly surprised, because it's quite a strong category, but it is really, a really powerful documentary, if you're frightened of heights.
I was still upset to not see Won't You Be My Neighbour wasn't nominated, because that was just one of the most lovely films I've ever seen. It would have been great to see that nominated.
Okay, best costume design. So first win for Black Panther for Ruthie Carter, and I think that was a very, very popular win.
Yep.
And great to see Black Panther getting in there early. Best film editing. Now, I know you have a lot to say about this. Best film editing, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Bohemian Rhapsody winning best editing. Like, people on Twitter, are even noticing,
people on Twitter are actually sharing some badly edited scenes
Bohemian Rhapsody just won best editing, and here are some scenes. Here's a scene, and you judge for yourself. And people are trying to defend it by saying, but it's all the concert scenes that are put together. And I'm like, if you're judging it by moment-to-moment editing, maybe there's some stuff in there, but surely best editing should be, how the story is told overall, especially in something like Black Klansman, and I think Vice as well, which are both beautifully edited, and The Favourite. They're all great edited.
And Mary Poppins Returns, to be honest, in terms of musicals. So,
why? I don't understand it. And then you're just giving the stage to somebody who has to avoid the name Bryan Singer again.
Yeah.
It's just, and John Ottman's worked with him for years as well, so that must have been really weird.
Yeah, no, Mary Poppins Returns not nominated in that category, should have been. Best production design, Black Panther.
Yep.
Hannah Beecher and Jay Hart. Again, very popular, and I think correct.
Yeah, I think so too. And the thing about this, though, and this is where I start to get a bit of a sour taste, is that it feels, and I know it's thousands of members, but it does feel a little bit like they're being very selective and being like, okay, we'll give a few to Black Panther so we can just say Black Panther a few times so people will get excited, and then all the big ones we'll give to somebody else.
Okay, however, The production design on Black Panther was really good.
It was incredible.
I mean, I think it was a really, really good
film. I don't mean to take away from that.
No, I do. I know often it's, you know, it's worth pointing out as well that people were talking about this year, they said, let's introduce a popular film category so that they could get Black Panther into the mix. What everyone always forgets, and this is something that we covered in a documentary I made recently, the very first year of the Oscars, there was two categories. There was Best Film and Best Artistic Production.
Oh, right.
And then they dropped the artistic production and stayed with Best Film. So, you know, in a way, we've always had the popular category ever since the first Oscars. So, you know, a little bit of history. Best Cinematography. Now, Alfonso Cuarón winning for Best Cinematography, he said when he won the BAFTA, his whole thing was, what would Chivo do? Because he said he's not a cinematographer, he's a director. We talked about the fact that when Paul Thomas Anderson was his own cinematographer on Phantom Thread, he didn't even take a credit at all.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was up against Cold War, Never Look Away, The Favourite, and A Star Is Born. You happy with that? Or?
Yes, mostly yes. I think that I would have liked The Favourite to get it just because it was so different, and I felt like its cinematography was quite effective as well. And
I loved Cold War.
Right. A cinematographer friend of mine said that he can tell that it's shot by a director. And I was like, that's interesting.
Okay, how could he tell that?
I don't know. Like, obviously he's got a cinematographer's eye. Okay. And he was like, I can tell that that's a director shooting something rather than a cinematographer shooting something.
I mean, the weird thing is...
Something to do with the exposure and things like that.
But the strange thing is that Cuarón himself said that, about that he's not a cinematographer, he is a director. So that's why...
And as well, like, cinematography should be its own sense of directing, shouldn't it? It should be, like, why you're putting a camera in a certain way and like, where you're putting it and how you're lighting it. And I suppose if he's making those choices with the story in mind... Yeah, it probably should be Best Cinematography because he's done it with such a great intent.
Bear in mind, a few weeks ago, the Oscars didn't want to broadcast the Best Cinematography Awards. So, yes. I mean, I just think, hey, it's there.
I mean, I'm just glad we've got this Oscars out of the way with all the things they said they were going to do and then not do. Yeah. And oh.
Okay, Best Sound Editing, Bohemian Rhapsody. I don't have a problem with that because I think Best Sound Editing is something that can only be judged by sound editors. That's such a tough category, right?
I think that I would have liked to see A Quiet Place win just because the sound was so integral to the story.
Okay. Yeah.
And the same, I guess, for First Man.
That said, the sound on Roma,
the waves,
the Atmos sound on Roma is absolutely unbelievable.
I thought there was someone talking behind me sometimes because it was such a great use of the three-dimensional space.
And that's the best reason for seeing Roma in a cinema.
Yeah,
absolutely. Okay, best sound mixing.
It usually goes that way, doesn't it? The Oscars usually give both sound editing and sound mixing to the same award because they don't really understand the difference.
And then Best Foreign Language Film. So Roma wins Best Foreign Language Film. You said that was going to happen anyway.
Yep.
Okay. I actually thought it was going to be Capernaum, although that was a total sort of outside call. But I thought that was going to be the case because I was convinced that Roma was going to win Best Film.
Right, yes.
And so I thought, okay, therefore it probably won't win Best Foreign Language Film.
That was my sort of thinking, is that if Roma doesn't win Best Foreign Language Film, it's definitely got Best Picture.
Okay. But you did think it was going to win
Foreign Language Film. But I thought it was going to win
both.
I thought it was going to win Foreign Language and Picture.
Okay. And are you happy with that?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I'm happy with that. I like Shoplifters.
I love Shoplifters.
I thought it was really good. But I think overall it probably is the best one to win. And especially because the Oscars are so political, having a Mexican film win. And it's the first Mexican film to win, I believe.
Best Foreign Language?
Yes, I think it is. So that's cool, especially with like someone like Donald Trump in office. I know it's an obvious thing to say, but it's cool that Mexican people are ruling the awards at the moment have been for the last 5 years.
Best Supporting Actor, I think we both called this, didn't we? Both said Mahershala Ali. There was really never any question, except for the possibility that Richard E. Grant might, because...
The amount of campaigning he's done, and like his social media stuff was like... And I mean this in a positive way. Like, he has been a joy these last few months. Yeah. Where in such a sort of like slug of an award season, he's been wonderful to watch. And his reaction to like Barbara Streisand and all this stuff has been wonderful. So I almost thought maybe he could like swing it. Like, maybe this could be the surprise of the night.
Yeah, I thought there was an outside chance that when he came on the radio show I do with Simon Mayo, he did say there's no chance. He said, have you seen the odds? And I went, well, yes. But he said, look, the way the awards season works is that the same group of people go from each awards. He said, and I have sat there watching Mahershala Ali win
over and over again.
So I know how this plays out.
Yeah. He's just enjoying the ride.
He is, and good for him.
Yes,
because
he is
really good in it. But I do think Mahershala Ali is great, except for the question about whether or not that's a supporting actor performance.
Which absolutely isn't.
Which absolutely isn't. Best animated feature, I'm going to let you say this.
Spider-Man, Into the Spider-Verse.
So this was the moment in which you must have been jumping up and down and punching the air because
totally,
you love that film. I love it too. But
getting to know Phil Lord and Chris Miller a little bit over the last few months, like bumping into them every now and again, like, they are so deserving of this and so excited about it, and they've worked so hard for it, and it's such a wonderful movie. Like, I'm so pleased. Yeah. I'm so pleased that it's won.
Yeah.
And it's a Spider-Man movie that won an Oscar.
Exactly. So, always a good thing. So, best visual effects, First Man. Now, interesting call, because I think, didn't you say it was going to go to...
I said it was going to go to Avengers.
Avengers. And I spoke to somebody about this who said, God, yeah, but the effects in Avengers Infinity War aren't good. Yes, they are.
They made Thanos real.
I know, yeah. We all sat there in that massive, whatever problems I have with that film, none of them was that I didn't think that it kind of looked convincing. But I think First Man is a really, really good call.
It reminds me of when Ex Machina won. It's the smaller one.
Okay.
With the more practical effects. This time, not Ex Machina had CGI, obviously, but I mean that First Man didn't have any green screens or anything like that. And I think that they're really celebrating a more practical use.
Yeah, and the visual effects were absolutely brilliant. You did believe that you were in that.
You see the behind the scenes where they make a huge screen. Like, it's so incredible.
When they make a huge screen and go, give us an Oscar. Look at the work.
You can ignore everything else in the movie, but you can't ignore this.
Okay, original screenplay, Green Book.
Ooh.
And so it was up against The Favourite, Roma, Vice, and First Reformed. Actually, First Reformed, I think, is a great screenplay.
Mm. What would you have picked?
I would have gone for The Favourite, because
I
think it's a better piece of writing.
I completely
and, of course,
agree.
The Favourite is a very interesting case in which Deborah Davis did the original script many, many years
ago.
Yeah,
20 years ago or something.
And then Tony McNamara does the rewrites on it. And the best thing about it has been seeing the two of them up on stage together, saying that they never worked together. She wrote a version, he did a rewrite, they both congratulate each other, and it's isn't that wonderful? It kind of genuinely looks like one person did one thing, one person did another thing. There's no sense of tension about it, because often you see all these screenplay credits and
people fighting for it, and the difference between and an ampersand means everything.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
On to best adapted screenplay, BlacKkKlansman. And again, very popular win.
Yeah.
Exactly as was the case at the BAFTAs. Because Spike Lee was very funny, because afterwards when Green Book won Best Picture, see this thing, he said twice I've lost and it's always a driving film.
Yeah,
he said at least this time they
you know he
first.
Tried to leave.
I saw the thing and they
he
shut
tried
the
to
door.
Leave.
Yeah.
And then in the backstage interviews, he came on stage with a glass of Prosecco and said, this is my sixth glass, you know why? And I was like, yeah, we do, Spike. And it was so nice as well to see like it presented by Samuel L. Jackson. And I saw somebody tweet again, like when he hugged him and he was like, Samuel Jackson's won a Spike Lee. It's just this tiny little man in his arms. Yeah, I was very happy to see that. Yeah. It's obviously a very, very favourable win from everybody in Hollywood. Yeah.
And it is
world.
It is a great screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do think If Beale Street Could Talk is a great screenplay as well, but I'm very, very happy.
I completely agree. And I think there's not enough love for okay. If Beale Street Could Talk in this at all.
Original score, Black Panther,
speaking of
Ludwig Göransson. I would have gone for Nicholas Britell for If Beale Street
Without
Could Talk because
doubt.
I just think it's a brilliant.
It's stunning. And I actually don't agree. Now that I've been listening to the soundtrack more and more, I get what Barry Jenkins was saying about the score.
It not working away
but
from
it. But I don't agree.
I
listen to the score now and I just think it's a gorgeous piece of work.
Yeah, it really is. It really, really is.
And I get, again, this is sort of my sour thing of just like giving Black Panther certain things. But, you know, someone pointed out again that John Williams for Superman couldn't even win Best Original Score.
Yeah.
And this one is good, but I don't think it's as good as I don't think it's as good as Black Klansman, and I don't think it's as good as If Beale Street Could Talk either.
The Terrence Blanchard of Black Klansman is great, but I just think that Nicholas Britell for If Beale Street Could Talk is something else.
I think
from
it's,
that very opening moment when the camera's swirling. You know,
it's just one of the best scores I've heard in years.
Okay, so original song, obviously Shallow from A Star
This was
is
the
Born.
Only one that was definitely going to happen.
Yes.
The other one, everyone no else was question. Like, who else is nominated?
So, I mean, I would like to fly the flag for The Place Where Lost Things Go from Mary Poppins, which I love, but the fact is Shallow has got Oscar-winning hit written, and it's great. It's
and Bette Midler performed that song from Mary Poppins really well on the night.
What you mean, as opposed to Bette Midler performing a song not really,
all right,
really well?
Yeah, yeah, fine.
Best actor. Now, I take this back to when you and I first talked about Bohemian Rhapsody, when it first came out, and you said if there's any justice in this world, he should win best actor, but he won't.
And here we are. And he has.
He was, yeah. So, yeah. There we go.
Yeah.
So where's your sourness and bitterness now?
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I think if it was going to win anything, it should have only been this, but it actually turned out to be the biggest winner of the night, I think, Bohemian Rhapsody. I think it won 4 Oscars.
Yeah, although that numerical thing never makes it. You know,
sure.
People always say, oh, the biggest winner of the night was so-and-so, which won 17 awards, and 16 of them were ones you go, what is that?
Yeah.
You
know, so. But Rami Malek, I think, absolutely deserves this. If it went to Christian Bale, I wouldn't have been upset, but I think...
I would have been.
Really?
Yeah, because Rami Malek's performance is better than Christian Bale's.
All right, fair enough. I think that they're pretty equal in terms of how good they are, but Rami Malek is the person who made me go, oh, there's Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
And I haven't felt that way, and I've said this before on this podcast, but I haven't felt like a person has disappeared into a role since Heath Ledger's Joker.
Yeah, you didn't sit there and go, there's Dick Cheney.
Yeah, sure.
So, you know, fine.
Some people did, though.
Yeah.
Some people really thought that they felt like his entire being was just like put onto screen.
Yeah, or put into hair and makeup. Anyway, best actress. So Olivia Colman, a really, really popular, what a fantastic speech. However,
this is the moment of the night for me.
I have to, no, it was wonderful, but Glenn, my heart did go out to Glenn Close because both you and I said, you know, after BAFTAs, that the way it'll fall is, it'll be Olivia Colman here, but Glenn Close there.
Yeah.
And that's what the bookies said. I was checking on the night of the thing. I mean, the bookies were actually often wrong tonight.
Yeah.
Not this.
About a lot of stuff.
About a lot of stuff, which is weird because they've been quite on the money recently. So, yes, Olivia Colman, brilliant, fantastic speech. That's the way you give an acceptance speech. But any part of you go...
A little bit. So I've watched it back, and I did watch Glenn Close's face when it happened. And it was like a sort of, yeah, again, for the 7th time. But Olivia Colman winning
is brilliant.
Our living room,
I know, it's just
when
brilliant.
We were watching it, we exploded. And then we've got people who've been watching her since Peep Show and all that sort of stuff who were in tears because there's Olivia Colman off of British telly with an Oscar in her hand. And even she can't believe it. And it's just wonderful to watch it. I'm so pleased.
I'd like to point out again, I gave Olivia Colman a Kermode Award for Best Actress for her role in Tyrannosaur.
Nice.
Back in 2000 and blah, de blah, de blah. And in her acceptance speech, she said, this is better than getting an Oscar.
Really?
So
you should dig
I was
that
there
out.
First, exactly.
You should definitely dig that
oh,
out.
Oh, I am digging it out. I am digging it out. I'm flagging it everywhere. No, it was, and what a brilliant speech. Because she genuinely appeared not to have prepared anything.
At all. I don't think she's prepared anything for the entire award season. And this is the thing as well. I
blowing
think...
a raspberry at the people when they told it was time to come off.
Yeah, she's amazing. And then just going, oh, Lady Gaga. Oh, no. Like, it's incredible. And
the two things that speech reminded me of, one of them were the bit when Matt Damon and Ben Affleck won for best screenplay.
And they jumped around.
And then when Cuba Gooding Jr. won for Jerry Maguire and jumped around.
Right. It's always just nice to see somebody get really, really excited about something like this.
Yeah.
Because this is what I mean about it really mattering. Because I think it does matter when it's in the right place.
Yeah.
And this award, giving Best Actress to Olivia Colman, I think I've been watching the Oscars for about 10 years. So not that long. But I think that is the best moment of the 10 years I've been watching.
Yeah.
And it's followed quite quickly by one of the worst moments since I've been watching.
Okay, so Best Director.
Alfonso Cuarón.
So you had called that.
Yeah.
I still think it should have been Spike Lee. I think that Cuarón did a brilliant job, but I do think that Spike Lee should have won Best
Director.
It would
have been nice to see it go to someone like Yorgos Lanthimos or Spike Lee, because neither of them have won an Academy Award before.
For directing.
So it would have been nice to do that because Alfonso has won for Gravity. But this is, again, like, I know he won 3 Oscars in the night, but it's another case of Alfonso Cuarón winning Best Director and not winning Best Picture.
Yeah.
I think that is a well-deserved win. I think I would have liked to see it go another way simply because it would have been a bit more surprising.
I just would have, I just kind of thought it was Spike. I mean, as we said when we talked about this before, I thought it probably would be Cuarón, because I thought it absolutely would be Roma for best film, but I do think Spike Lee actually deserved to win. Which brings us to best picture, and the best picture winner is Driving Miss Daisy. How did you feel about Green Book winning Best Picture, beating Black Panther, Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, The Favourite, Roma, A Star Is Born, and Vice?
Really quite sour. Really bad. I saw Green Book in December and had no idea what it was, and it turned out to be a secret Christmas film. And I was so happy to see it. I found it really pleasant and really nice. I had no idea that it was going to be considered so highly for awards consideration. I thought they were both brilliant in it, but the more and more the awards started to favour it, and more it started to become likely to win something big, I started to feel weird about it. I was like, okay, so this is the film about racism being bad, where a guy learns to not be racist, made by a lot of white men. And when they won, on stage was Octavia Spencer, Mahershala Ali in the wings, and then just a sea of white men. I was like, This is indicative of the situation, isn't it? Look at that. Like, this is the year where Black Panther and Black Klansman, and also, like, The Favourite, which is an LGBTQ film, could have won. Roma could have been the first foreign language film to win Best Picture, and they went with the safest, annoying version.
So here's the interesting thing. I mean, the way I feel about Green Book, I think the performances are great, but the performance is the best thing about it. I think that it was really interesting, because the first I heard about it was Friedkin tweeting that he thought it was the most moving film he'd seen all year. And he turns out, incidentally, to have been completely in tune with the Academy. I think there's no way it should have won Best Film in the same way. And it is Driving Miss Daisy, this time the racist in the front seat. It absolutely is that film. But again, referring back to this documentary we just made, there is a mid-road that Oscar often does. It's like, you know, Brokeback Mountain doesn't win, but Crash does. But not the right Crash, the other Crash.
And Shakespeare in Love wins.
Shakespeare in Love not Saving Private Ryan. You know, it happens time and time again. And in the case of Green Book, had I been more cynical, I would have said, it's Driving Miss Daisy, therefore it will win. What I actually said was, it's Driving Miss Daisy, therefore it won't win. Because that
we've seen this before.
Yeah, and the really funny thing was, when it did happen, it was like, oh, Driving Miss Daisy still wins Best Picture. And I remember that thing when Driving Miss Daisy, you know, won all those years ago, going, can you imagine a year in which Driving Miss Daisy was the best film you would see that year? You'd stop watching films. It's not that it's bad. It's just that it's very, very bland.
Yeah.
I think the performances in Green Book are brilliant. I think Mahershala Ali deserved to win, although I think it's a leading performance. I think Viggo Mortensen is fantastic in it. And I think that they make more of the film than the script allows. But I think the film itself is fine.
Yeah.
It's absolutely fine.
It's absolutely fine. And the problem I have with it being so acclaimed in this way and getting such a huge award is because of what the film itself represents and who made it, especially in the year where Black Panther, I would have been excited to see that win, even though I don't think it deserves it in terms of a feat in filmmaking. Black Klansman, which is a film about how things were bad in the 70s, and oh look, they're not so different now.
Yeah, but if Beale Street could talk,
I know, I mean, not even being nominated.
That's the thing. Well, you know, Leave No Trace not even being nominated. But if Beale Street could talk, if we're talking about, you know, a film that actually deals with racism, actually sort of similar time period, you know, and if Beale Street could talk is a work of art, arguably, I think a work of genius. Green Book is, it's all right.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's all right, and it does cement that thing that the Oscars 9 times out of 10 will go for the thing that it's all right.
And I think they like Green Book as well because it's a uplifting one. It's like things are okay.
So is If Beale Street Could Talk, although it's tragic,
kind
but
of not. Beale Street Could Talk is very sad, and
conquers all.
Love wins, but. But he has to stay in prison for something he didn't do.
World is a horrible racist place, but it's a love story.
Yes, and I think that is a better message for today than racism's over now. We did it, everyone. Let's have dinner. Let's have Christmas dinner. Like, that's why it bothers me. Okay. And
I mean, my problem with it is not. I understand entirely your problem. I agree with the point, but my problem is more fundamental than that. It's just all right.
Yeah.
It's just a movie that's all right. I mean, it's
very Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
And it's also very hard to look at it and go, well, you know, it was brilliantly pitched. No, it wasn't. It wasn't brilliantly written. It wasn't brilliantly pitched. It was all right, and it had two firecracker performances. And all the stuff that works is those performances being brilliant, and everything else is. All right.
From the director of
Movie 43.
I was going to say Dumb and Dumber. But yeah, Movie 43. Me, Myself and Irene.
Yeah, but no, listen, I think there are a lot of, well, you know, Something About Mary. There are a lot of very good Farrelly brother pictures. In fact, I would have been very happy if Something About Mary had won, you know. But it's, I just think it's one of those. You just look at it. Weirdly enough, of all of the films in that category, it's the one you go, Black Panther, yeah, you know, Black Klansman, great, Bohemian Rhapsody, war, favourite, yeah, you know, Roma, wow, Star is Born, yeah, Vice, yeah, Black, Green Book,
yeah.
You know, it's the...
You know. I think it probably, I don't know how the voting system works, but I think it probably was somebody's like third or fourth.
It's the one that people disliked the least.
Right.
You can imagine somebody taking against Black Panther, Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody. You can imagine somebody go, I've got a problem with all those.
Yeah.
Green Book. Although, weirdly enough, there was an awful lot of negative campaigning about it, about the family saying that, this isn't true. He was actually his employee. Well, they weren't friends. They didn't do the thing that you would think the filmmakers would do the minute you were telling that story, which was go and actually meet the family and say, you know, is this okay? Is this okay? They didn't do any of that stuff. So, but it is, in terms of what's on the screen, it's all right.
I'm so disappointed. And that's what I mean about this year having the best moment and the worst moment since I've been watching.
I feel like... You've grown up.
Right.
I feel like this is your loss of innocence moment. You know, and after that summer, nothing would ever be the same. I feel like I've literally just walked down a railway track with you, mm-hmm. and I've shown you a dead body, and now I'm going to go off to Vietnam, and you're going to go to college and become a writer. You're going to become Richard Dreyfuss. That's how it's going to work.
That sounds all right.
Okay. All right, Jack. Well, as always, a pleasure. And remember, son, you can pick your friends and you can pick your nose, but you can't pick your friend's nose.
Whatever.